All right, man. What are you without Bear, bro?
Yo,
You
you say
there?
what about Bear? Probably the same as you without David.
Wait, better?
You see, you think you're better without
Hold on, I'm following this Dame shit right now.
him? What you say they about to get traded over here?
It looked like Masai is really trying to be weird, bro.
Messiah, like no way the Raptors got a hand in this,
They're
boss.
really
Like.
trying. Dame made it clear that he doesn't want to go there. He's even claiming he's not going to show up, but nobody really believes that because it's kind of hard to do that with the CBA now. But Masai is really trying to do that Kawhi shit again, except this time, like, Dame is not Kawhi, bro.
Dude, like, oh, Kawhi was in his pro like they I loved it to death, but apart from the him obviously tanking like his trade market, obviously, because he said he only wants to play for Miami, like he's 33, bro. Like he's gonna be 34 soon. Like how many 35-year-old guards are like championship level pieces
This
on
is
teams
why,
besides
though.
Steph?
Like, he's gonna be making $60 million a year soon. Like, this, you don't actually want him. Only the Heat should want him.
He's such a fucking weirdo, bro. Like it's like only a team who really believes they're a game away from competing. Like you
Like, I
really
could see
think
if
Scotty
Boston did it.
Barnes?
I could see if Boston did it and just ignored his wishes. That's the only team that should do that. But like the Raptors.
Masai, yeah, Dame, Scotty Barnes, and Pascal. Sure, no, you probably have to give up. Who would they even trade?
In the Raptor shit, I don't know. I haven't seen any potential trades put down yet.
Come on, it's good. What Gary Trent and fucking Scotty Barnes or some shit, bro. Run with Pascal and all.
Yeah, I don't think they would trade Scotty. I don't even think they have to because what y'all would be giving up isn't shit anyway. So they'd just be trading like all their picks with other shit. Maybe they give up Grady instead. Grady Dick.
Dude, why is Cronin such a weirdo too, bro? Just send him to Miami, bro. My
My guess is
goodness.
y'all are trying to like scam them though. Y'all probably
Like
not giving them your best package, which you could
low
still afford
ball.
to give up to, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would help if I had any sense of idea of what they actually wanted. Because all the reports are saying, well, from the Heat side, obviously, is that Portland won't sit at the table and Portland's saying that the offers are shit. So I would love to know what's actually going on.
It should be Tyler to a third team. It should be what's his name? Jovic and Hakez. And
And
then
two picks,
filler,
bro.
and then yeah, and then like, what is it, Lowry? Like, send Lowry, and then
Yeah,
you're
Lowry
done.
somewhere. Yeah,
Yeah, and then your two picks.
in theory, that should get it done, man. But I don't know. They say Cronin's trying to play hardball, so they're not trying to give up Tyler in the deal, or they don't want Tyler, and then they do want Tyler. It's the only way it's gonna happen. And
Yeah, I think the Blazers
it's
probably at the point where like we don't want Tyler, but we'll take whatever scraps another team will send just so the Heat have to suffer a little bit because they're probably pissed off, but. Like, they don't want Dame. That's why I don't blame Dame. They don't want him either.
Yeah, they don't want to mother. I have been following a couple Portland reporters that have been saying like the only reason that this is taking so long is obviously like Miami is lowballing it, but also Crum is pissed that Dame's dictating the way things are going. Like
Yeah.
he wanted to be able to sit down and fill out offers.
I don't see how people could look at this and think that like, they just look at it as the ownership shit. Like, Dame gave y'all how many fucking years though? Like, do y'all need to get the absolute most for him? Like, why is he your property in that sense? Like,
Yeah,
you're
it's
still gonna
annoying.
get something for a player you don't want, and the player you're not gonna want to pay soon. Like, move on.
I do think this is going to happen soon, though, because we're about at the point where the general media is turning on Dame, which I feel like all ownership really wants is to come out looking like the good guy in the scenario, in a
Yeah.
sense, where it's like, okay, Dame kind of did force his way out. Like, if Dame really wanted to pull a Harden or AD and just sit and bitch and moan and complain about it would have been done 2 months ago. But he'd been trying to play both sides, be the good guy still on both
Yeah.
sides of the coin. And now that people are like, you know what? We're sick of Dame. I think the deal is going to start getting advanced because I think they wanted to win the court of public opinion.
I think what Shams said for the Harden shit is like around camp time, that's like October 5th. That's when
Yeah.
the stare downs really happen, and usually when somebody's gonna make a move, it's probably gonna be the same for ya.
I wanted to have this done before camp started, but just anything where I don't have to see Dame's name in the news about rumors anymore, just get that fucking shit done, bro. Jesus Christ.
All right. I'm just looking at your injury report right now. So, no Cansy, but you're going to get Carlton. Okay.
Yeah. No Cansy, no Servasi Dennis, but everybody else should be playing. A couple people limited. I was looking at you guys' injury report. That shit is a scroll and a half long.
Oh, everybody on my team is playing except for Quez, though. Like, it's just a lot of fake shit.
I can't even get a Bradbury last minute DNP.
Nah, remember he was concussion protocol. He would have played if we didn't have a Thursday night game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because the way the hit was looking, it was like he was bleeding from the mouth and everything. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think he just had a busted lip.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so fully healthy Eagles team for the most part. You know, let's get into it. Should we even discuss this this Giants 49ers game? Do you feel like recapping that, bro?
Shit. I'm going to sound like a hater on both teams.
Yeah, let's just get into that real quick. It's a little surprising to me it took the Niners that long to put away a Giants team with two hands behind the back. Like, they didn't have their two best players, and it was a one-score game halfway through the third quarter. That's a little weird to me. At home?
With them, though, like, they still ended up winning by three possessions. I think Kyle showed that he was a coward, though. They could have put him away sooner, punting on that, what are they, like, the 48 or something on fourth and two, kicking field goals. But that's always going to be Kyle. But the Niners clearly were the better team. It's just that Kyle being a coward just delayed the inevitable.
Yeah, no, the Giants are just going to be, like, they're never going to beat the elite of the elite teams. They're going to get probably rolled by Dallas and Philly twice. Like,
every time they play a good D-line, it's going to end horribly. I don't care if Andrew Thomas wasn't out there. We've seen it with Andrew. They just go at any of the other four guys. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. I just came away from that. Like, I was obviously wrong on this Niners team. You know, I can admit that. At least so far this season, they look as dominant as they've ever been. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy has the easiest job in the fucking world, man. It's just, if he doesn't have it going through the air, to be able to have weapons like Kittle, Debo, Ayuk when he's healthy, McCaffrey especially, you could just dump it off to a screen. Like, they picked up on one drive, I think they ran five consecutive screens, and it was 3 third and longs on those drives of 11 or more, and they picked up each and every one of them by throwing it behind the line of scrimmage. That's absolutely unbelievable. That space to the block here. I was concerned about the offensive line, but yeah, just Purdy, Kyle, they're inevitable.
I've seen bad tackling teams, though, but what the Giants were on last night was insane. Like, between Debo slipping through everything or just dragging people an extra 5-10 yards, Trey Hawkins made the most pathetic effort on one of those CMC screens.
Yeah.
The defense, like, who thought it was a good idea to just start two rookie corners and move your best corner inside? Kayvon doesn't look good at all. I know there's an attack on pass rush win percentage because, you know, that whole TJ Watt insecurity. But Kayvon got a 2% win percentage this year, man. He's winning. Yeah. That probably means he won, like, one rep this whole time. Like, I saw two guys on the Giants win and force Brock to walk into Kayvon, and Kayvon got a fucking free sack. It made my blood boil, man. I can't stand to see that.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any better that he's trying to be, like, this big, like, personality. You remember all that nonsense he was doing last year, the Snow Angels next to Nick Foles and all that shit. Like, I can understand that if you were an actual game wrecker, but when you're just a cleanup guy, they got to run you on stunts and games off of Dexter Lawrence's gravity to, like, get a sack, bro. It's just, who are you, dog? You're not Miles Garrett.
Hey, DJ Davidson is upstaging him. Like, I'm watching him line up next to each other, and that dude's clearly better than him. That's embarrassing.
That's the same dude who Trent punched, right?
That guy got some anger issues, man. You know, when we eliminated him, he was throwing a temper tantrum. Here, he just looks special. Like, he just not all there in the hood.
Yeah, no, and you know what is crazy is he's 36 or 37, whatever he is, too. It's like, he got a lot of issues for a dude who's almost in his 40s.
That's the person who's been crashing helmets, like, 60 times a game for the last 17 years of his life.
Yeah, I know you were happy watching, you know, your son George Kittle, bro. He was looking, you looking pretty healthy without Eddie Aiyuk out there to, you know, siphon off some touches. He was kind of looking like the old Kittle.
Oh yeah, the little meth head over there. That's the issue with them, though. It's like, they all can't be the guy every game because they're just gonna fall apart and die. So I guess they could pass the baton a little bit with Aiyuk out, Debo and Kittle step up. Aiyuk will take over a little bit. One of them can step back next game. Like, they got all the weapons to diversify. I think Brock also likes Kittle, though. I think we saw that last year. Kittle became magically became one of the top fantasy tight ends in the league once Brock took over.
Yeah. I think another thing that we kind of did take for granted is, you know, I do got to give him his shine. Granted, it was against two, you know, rookie corners. But, I mean, Debo as a vertical threat is a real thing. We always used to make fun of him because he was just, you know, a glorified gadget weapon who could break tackles. But he could actually move down the field and make plays. Like, down the sideline, too. Not just over the middle, you know.
That touchdown catch was nice by him.
Dude, it was beautiful. Fucking toe tap, fucking by the pylon. Jesus Christ, Debo, I see you. He's a monster.
That game wasn't that interesting, but I did want to comment on Deontay Banks getting cooked by another rookie, Ronnie Bell. Like, if he was getting, if he gets cooked by a vet, that's one thing, though. Nah, a rookie cooked them. We don't have to see PFF talk about his grade when he only played like half a game. Like, I'm glad that shit's over.
No, he definitely had a tough day too. And is it just me or does it feel like Juwan Jennings literally catches everything? Like, I don't know if it's just me, but every time he has a 50-50 contested ball, I feel like he comes down with it. It's crazy.
Strong hands or something, man. That's a good three they got over there. Like I said, they got weapons. I'm never worried about their weapons. Their line, their coach over out like outthinking himself, their quarterback, that's a different story.
Yeah, gotta see them against Philly and Dallas at some point. Like I would love to see them against, a line that, can stand up to them physically, at some point. But
Yeah, and you get that this year. It's going to happen very soon.
yeah. Well, so we'll see about them. Any thoughts on the Giants? What were the stats you were tweeting out yesterday? What is it, 98-43 on the year?
Yeah, that's really bad. And it could have been worse. But like I said, Kyle's a coward. The Cardinals tanked. This team, though, it's like they were set up to be like, I don't want to say they're a disappointment just because they lost to the Niners, but like just their season as a whole, how they have played, they were set up to be the team that regresses, though. There are certain stats that you can't fight every year with the one possessions and stuff, and they fought it. Like, yes, you're a well-coached team that gets you to beat those other teams last year who are still more talented than you, but
Right.
now you're playing talent, it's gonna look ugly. It's like they don't look like they belong is the issue. It's not that they're losing these games, they don't belong on the field with these guys.
Yeah, you said it perfectly, bro. It's just when you're going into these, like they're just getting absolutely dominated. It's not it makes it feel like they're not a good ball. I do like certain things about this ball club fully healthy. Like obviously, I do like Dex and like the pressure they can get when Leo is actually playing like a man. But they just to get completely outclassed like this, like to get doubled up, and then I tweeted it to fucking 136-50. If you go back the last four games, to get blown off the field like you're a college team, it's brutal, bro. It's gotta be brutal as a fan to watch.
It's annoying because you'll like certain parts about them, but all right, you like Dex, you like Leo. I do too. But their D line's still not that good because Kayvon has not reached even close to what he's supposed to be. He's not even good for what he is right now, year two. Aziz is a disappointment and he doesn't even show up anymore. It like they don't have a good unit. They don't have a good unit.
They really don't. Like I think the only unit. Okay, I do like they're like three deep because I do like obviously former Buck Raheem Nunez-Rochez. I think he's a good depth piece for the IDL room. So I do like that, but that's it. That
When
is
I think
really
unit,
it.
I'm thinking D line though. Like I like a half a unit of theirs. They got a really good half a unit.
Not, yeah, that's gonna rehash the fucking Bears debate that we had earlier this year too. By the way, Andrew Billings hooping. I don't know if you saw the clips, but he was
Oh,
hooping.
brother. I saw Javon Dexter clips. I thought I was gonna get tagged.
Oh man, I considered that. I'm not gonna lie to you, but I was like, yeah, I don't really want to, have any
It was
highlights
against
against
your
my team.
team, and they didn't actually do anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Speaking of my team, man. So Paul. Talk to me, man. You're not at least a little bit nervous about this game. Now, I could
Well,
bring up the fact that you guys haven't beat us since Ray Allen hit that corner jumper and the BlackBerry was coming out and everything. But okay, hear me out. Hear me out. Because we all know Philly, more talented on paper, both sides of the ball, arguably at every unit, except for May wide receiver. You guys do have better, but I think we're in the room. But so far this season, the Bucs appear to be a well-coached team. No turnovers on the year. We do have some sort of flow offensively with Baker. Monday Night Football on the road, Heat in Florida. You guys are a Northeast team. You're telling me there's no chance.
I would never say there's no chance in football, though. I was telling the Eagles, well, obviously I wasn't telling the Eagles, but this is the last week of preseason, though. Like, we after week three, like this is the last, but they should still be better than the first 2 weeks, and that's why I'm still confident. Obviously, I'm confident because of the talent that we got on the team. But you guys are a well-coached team, though. Like, you're a different team. I didn't know if you were trolling when you were talking about Canales before the season started, or if you knew he was nice, but he's looking nice. He
I was
looks like he's going to take advantage of our mismatches of our linebackers and Justin Evans.
right. I the thing I know it's hard to tell with me sometimes because I can't bloviate a lot. But I was actually legitimately serious about him because I studied his path from where he came, like under Pete and everything. So I was like, okay, I could give him some grace as a first year play caller. But there's just something about being able to the way he was painting a picture of what our offense was going to look like in his first couple of interviews. I was like, okay. And they were asking him questions. He had rapid fire answers. I'm like, okay, I know it's dumb, but there's something about his ability to illustrate that in his interviews. I was like, okay, he might be a sharp guy. Like, he might actually know what he's talking about. And then I was reading the camp reports. I was like, okay, the players are obviously now talking about this, that, and the third. But, you know, they're like, okay, Mike's like, I've never been more open in my life. And Chris Godwin's like, okay, yeah, we got a lot of different pieces we can use this year. And even the tight ends we didn't even use last year, they were like, yeah, you know, I actually like our offense. And I'm doing the, you know, I'm watching the preseason. I'm like, okay, I'll take it for what it is. But Kyle Trask looked like he was an NFL player for the first time in his fucking career. I was like, that is something. He, like, there's something here with the energy that he's bringing to the building, with his concepts. We look competent on both sides of the ball, which for a lot of last year, we had Brady, but the team was dead. There was no energy. There was no life in our offense. So, and then I saw it come to life on the field. I'm happy I was ahead of the curve here, but he actually does look like a guy who can actually call plays in this league and actually build an offense. So that is something to be said.
I think Baker was the perfect guy for it because Baker looked good. He looked competent with the Rams. He looked like a solid quarterback, way better than he looked in the Panthers. And that's McVay's system. Canales looks like he's taken from Waldron, who's from McVay. Like, I felt like that was a little bit premeditated, planned ahead. Like, yeah, I think Baker could run this offense. And they went and they got him. And he's – I don't know if it's a small sample size or if it's the system. It's probably always naturally a mixture of both. But Baker's the complete opposite quarterback that he's been. He used to be turnover-prone. No longer turnover prone. Pressure used to make him shit himself. I guess right now you guys are keeping him away from pressure. I don't know. We'll see when you guys actually get to play some real guys up front, though.
Yeah. That's definitely going to be a challenge this year because, and you know me, I'm a Bucks fan, and you know I can be emotional during the games. You see my tweets or whatever. But at the end of the day, I've actually had a couple of days to sit down and digest and actually read about stuff and actually watch. I can be pretty reasonable. And here's what I can say about the Bucks so far this year. Before the preseason, you and I used to have discussions about why I thought our offensive line. Now, this is with Jensen actually playing. So, Jesus Christ, if he was playing, I'd be even more confident about this. But granted, we haven't played the stiffest of competition. But so far, Gadecki actually does look more comfortable and more confident on the right side than he did as a guard. He's just not an NFL guard. Cody Mock, I really like what I'm seeing from him so far. And Tristan's adjusting well to being a left tackle. So my only issue is Hainsey appears to have regressed. And that's going to be huge in this game. Andrew Billings was put on a highlight tape on him. And I just cannot imagine what Carter and Davis and Fletcher are going to do to him in this game. He just does not look like an NFL player at the moment in the system. I don't know if he's not picking it up. I don't know if he was more comfortable last year, pressure expectations. I really don't know what it is, but I'm worried. I'm super worried about him. I'm less worried about Gadecki. But even with that, he is going against Hassan Reddick, and he's an actual elite player. And he was okay against Danielle Hunter, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about the matchup up front, but they do look so far like they've been capable of being in the upper half of the league unit, probably about 13th, 14th in the league. I'm just nervous about what it's going to look like against when you have, like, Philly has two sets of lines that could probably be, you know, top 20 units. You know, I'm nervous about the unrelenting pressure Breaker is going to be under.
I don't expect to really do anything long developing. I'm expecting a lot of screens, a lot of quick stuff in general. Because you're not going to do that. You're not going to leave anybody one-on-one like that. Yeah, you said he was good against the Neil. That literally is the only player probably actually went over, like, in those offensive line meetings. Like, that's the only guy that got singled out in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Fletcher's playing like an animal, man. I need to see that matchup. I still don't think that unit's good. I got to see it against us first. I wish we saw something in the middle first, though, because it was, like, the two worst defensive fronts in the league. And then us, like, I don't get a taste. Pause. I feel like I know what to expect, though. Like, no matter how much, like, improved Gadecki is on the right side, I can't see this being a good unit, though. And I think that's what's going to protect us from at least, you know, having to give up the long play. I'm still expecting Trey Palmer to get one against us, but I'm thinking everything else is going to be short screens over the middle.
Yeah, we have to, and this is, by the way, for those who don't know so far, this is the number one and number two rushing defense. I think y'all are allowing 52, and we're allowing 54 on the ground so far this year. So if anything is going to help alleviate any of that, because one thing Canales does that Leftwich didn't last year. He does a lot of window dressing. There's going to be motion. And another thing, like, getting back to Canales really quick, that I like so far is he's willing to adapt to, like, what's working around the league. Like, I could already see him last game trying to steal concepts from what's working with the Dolphins and that pre-snap motion, that orbit shit, where you get your fastest players running. Mm-hmm. And so Devin Tompkins, Trey Palmer's, you know, maybe we – and the thing with Tua is, even though he has the quickest release time in the league, his depth of target is also the highest in the league, which means the ball's getting out quick, like the ball's getting out fast and deep. So maybe in lieu of being able to actually run deep, developing 7 and 5 step drops, so we can maybe steal some of those concepts to get big plays. But if none of that works, we have to be able to move the ball on the ground. I'm really worried about what that might look like running into the teeth of the Eagles' defense. Gonna have to be on the edges.
I felt like that was the most predictable improvement of the Eagles, is more Jordan Davis, and then you swap Hargrave out, who's a great pass rusher, but for Jalen Carter, who's a great all-around player. I felt like our run defense was going to be good this year, and it's looked like the best to me, though. Like the Vikings, obviously, they don't want to run the ball that much, but what we did to Madison, they just abandoned it entirely. Week one, Mondre and Zeke could not get going. Ooh. I'm looking probably for the same, because you guys got, like, you got – decent talent, but nobody that's really running between the tackles at a good level.
Right, right, right. I mean, Rashad with more volume, he was awful. I want to stress out to people who have Rashad in fantasy. He was terrible week one. Like, he should have had 100 yards on the ground, but he finished with 30. Like, I cannot stress to you enough how bad he was week one. And then I'm not really expecting a lot of undrafted Sean Tucker. And, you know, now that Chase Edmonds is on IR, Sneak Vaughn, my goodness, maybe the worst running back I've ever seen in my life. The slowest guy of all time. Special teamer, he's going to be playing in the game. So I think with more reps in his offense, because we are going from like a power scheme to a zone scheme, Rashad will get better. I just don't – I can't see a path where over the course of a game, Hainsey and Mock can block those guys, Carter, Fletcher, especially Jordan Davis up front. I'm hoping this Florida Heat gets to a couple of y'all. I'm not going to lie to you, because I look like Jordan only played like 20 snaps last game I was reading. So maybe with the Heat, we could get him down to about 15. So he doesn't have to go against Hainsey as much.
But did you see that game, though? They weren't running the ball, so it's hard to play Jordan too much. Nobody played true. A lot, though. Everybody played, like, around the same amount of percentages.
Yeah, which is really annoying, because it's like, okay, then all of those two going out, and here comes fucking Milton Williams, too. So I think our path to winning this game, and we could talk about the other side of the ball, too, because – oh, yeah, let's talk about the receivers real quick. I think Mike looks, you know, healthier. He had a big game last week. Granted, a lot of it came on one play, but he looks healthier. I think Bradbury, if I was the Eagles, I would do Bradbury on Mike just because they have a lot of history, and Bradbury's always been a good cover on Mike. And I'll probably do Slay on Godwin. Just physically, it just seems like Slay's a great corner, but, like, the DKs, those big receivers, he doesn't really match up well with those guys. If I was you guys, I would put Slay on Godwin.
I can't give you a prediction on that because I don't even know if Bradbury's playing outside this week because we lost Devontae.
Yeah, I've been reading. Is he running slot for you guys now, or at least this week?
Yeah, so he was being like getting reps on it. I guess the original thought was like for like big tight ends, like we play Kittle, we play Kelsey, we would move him inside. But with Devontae getting knocked out, and Mario Goodrich did not look good at all, and outside of that one play where Joe was one on one with Jordan Addison deep, which is a tough task for anybody. He played really well. He's a really good man corner. So I'm thinking that this week, maybe just this week, Bradbury plays predominantly inside, you know, when we're in nickel, and then he'll take Joe's spot when we're in base, and then Joe will just be playing outside. That's what I'm kind of expecting at this point.
That's an interesting wrinkle. I wonder how that's going to play out in this game, too, because before the season, Canales was talking a lot about moving Mike and Godwin around, because one thing Leftwich always did, and why Godwin was always like he's this injury prone player that's his tag in the league, is because like we would basically use him as a battering ram because we couldn't get our ground game going. We just run a couple, you know, screens to Godwin, and now he's just running into the teeth of the defense five fucking plays a game with Balkan in front of him. And so he get dinged up a lot. And then to preserve his body, he said he's going to be using him more on the outside this year. And so I think percentage wise, only like 30 or like 28% of Godwin's snaps have actually been in the slot this year.
Yeah, and then I saw that more outside was shocking to me.
Yeah, he wants to, and I think Godwin, he probably doesn't have the juice he had when he first came into the league. Like, he was a low 4-4 guy. He's probably, with the lower body injury, he's probably like a mid 4-4 guy, but he just has savvy and route running, so he can still get like loose deep. And I think the thing we were missing all those years with Leftwich is we didn't have an explosive guy outside of Mike Evans. You know, and Mike, for all I love about Mike, is like, that's a lot to ask for your ex receiver to be your only explosive guy who you could get big plays down the field with, and fucking Scotty Miller. So using Godwin as more of a guy who we can get big chunk plays out of, I think that's going to help alleviate the rest of the pressure on the offense. But if Bradbury is going to be in the slot, he's going to see a lot of Trey Palmer, which is fascinating to me, because I wonder how that changes the coverages you guys want to play. If he's going
to
be,
we're going to probably keep you over the top anyway, though.
Yeah, yeah. You guys run a lot of quarters, don't you?
Yeah, but I will say, though, I don't think we are predictable anymore. Even me as a fan, Desai wants to be different. Desai does not want to be predictable. So I'm thinking, yeah, we're a different team than we played so far, that we might see some things that we can't really predict right now.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what the corner matchups are going to be distributed as. We can keep going to tight ends. Cade Otton, good receiving tight end, maybe the worst blocking tight end I've ever seen in my life, though. Like bad, like just like bad, bro.
It is relieving to me, though. He may be a good receiver, but Hunter Henry and TJ Hockenson are a little bit more annoying, so I am a little bit relieved that I don't have to be worried about that as much, because we tried to use Justin Evans as our tight end matchup guy last week, and it did not go well.
Yeah, no. Justin Evans was slow 10 years ago when he was on the Bucs. Like, I think he came out and he ran a 4.7, so I can only imagine what he is now.
Yeah, after he tore his Achilles, walked away from football, came back 5 years later,
Yeah, no, he can't move out there. So tight ends, they're not going to be a huge wrinkle in the game plan. Not that you guys would have to worry about it in the first place, because we have the worst tight end room in the league. Like, they suck, man. Like, they are bad. So I think for us to move the ball is going to be a struggle. I think if we want to, it's going to have to be well schemed. Baker has to take care of the football. Like, we're going to have to win field position, which I think we can to a degree with Jay Kamada. He's actually a pretty good punter. So we're going to have to win the field position battle, hopefully win the turnover battle, but we're going to have to win this game in a phone booth on that side of the ball, because it's going to be tough to move it, in my opinion.
Yeah, you got to hope that, you know, well, not hope, your defense is good, and our offense hasn't been looking good. So that's pretty much what this game is going to be about.
Yeah. We can talk about the other side of the ball now, too. I'm so bummed Kansas isn't playing, man. I'm so
bummed. You wouldn't have gotten this game off anyway, man. I say that from the bottom of my heart.
It would have been some, at least with the scheme stuff you could be able to do with Vid, like, he would have gotten his fair share of ones. Like, it's not like I expected him to take over the game, but I would have been way happier seeing him out there than Mike Green, obviously. But I just think if you guys, I'm worried this game could get out of hand for the Bucs. If Bose does what I think he's gonna do, and what I think he's gonna do is he's gonna, similar to what we did against the Bears last week, send insane, unnecessary pressure. And I just don't think – I don't want him to do that. Because when you're facing quarterbacks who have burned us before in the past, it's the Mahomes, where he absolutely shredded us on, you know, primetime game last year. Or we've never matched up well when they had Stafford on the Rams. He shreds it. Because when you can read a blitz and get it out to guys who can break tackles and make plays in space, and then your poor tackling team on top of that, which we have shown to be in the past, it just makes your life so much harder. Now you guys are getting chunk plays on the ground. Jalen gets the ball out to AJ Brown on the slant, and now he's 30 yards downfield. I'm nervous. Bowles is gonna have his finger above that blitz button. He's gonna press it in all game.
Yeah, Jalen's been pretty good against the blitz ever since what y'all did to him. You could say it's his improvements, or you could just say that we got somebody that could go over the middle of the field better. And I think that obviously you're not gonna play like the Vikings. Vikings sent pressure, but they did it in the most unique of ways. I think we know what to expect with Bowles more, and it's going to be all about if our guys could win their ones, if Jalen could remain composed, hit AJ. I really think AJ's going to be a big part of today. AJ and Goddard, not only have they been crying like babies, like Goddard, the AJ thing took headlines, but Goddard was upset week one when Jalen missed them twice for two touchdowns. So I think that since they're both a part of the middle of the field, and that's what you're really going to target when you guys are sending 6-7 at us. And you're second in blitz percentage right now. I think the Vikings are first. Like,
yeah,
you're right, though. This is what's coming. You'll probably be upset about it, but maybe, you know, the whole idea, though, is to create some variance with teams that are a little bit more talented than you. And that's why Jalen gets blitzed every single week now, though. Ever since the Cardinals did it last week, I can't even have fun anymore. Like, they just want to muddy up the game, try to create some randomness to it. That's just not that fun.
It's probably not fun to watch as the Eagles or Bucks. I want to be clear about this. I think Bowles is a great DC. And when by the way, when this stuff works, it works. Like against Kirk, when we did a Kirk, forcing all those turnovers came as a result of us sending pressure. I want to be clear. Like when he's on, when he's dialing it up, when you guys don't have an answer, when you don't see it coming, it muddies up the game. It creates splash plays. And I can really get into my back about this, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm so nervous about it, but at the same time, it's like, God, I know it could work. JTS is I think, our key to the game. And the reason I think it is because, frankly, I love Shaq Barrett to death. He's a good player still. He doesn't get enough credit for what he does and what he means to our defense in terms of he can make splash plays, pick six last week. He's a great run defender. He's savvy. He's a veteran. The reason I think JTS is the key is because he's the only edge rusher I trust who has enough juice and experience to actually win his ones, which is going to be a tough task this week against Mayata and Lane. But he can create havoc for the game. He can spy Jalen a little bit. But what he doesn't get a lot of credit for is he's actually taken for what it is. He's one of the best drop back in the pass coverage edge rushers in the league, which creates a new wrinkle, which I think is really unique to our defense because when you're able to send Winfield and Dev and these slot blitzes, corner blitzes, and replace those guys with JTS, it's just his athleticism. He has really unique movement skills for his size, and he's able to, like, at his length, he's 6'5", 260. So he creates weird throwing, like, lanes, and he's just such a unique chess piece in our defense that I think if he is on and he has a good game, maybe bats down a couple balls, he gets a pressure or two on Jalen, maybe cleans up a sack or two, maybe even beats Lane or Mayata one or two times this game, it could actually be a huge factor for us. So I'm really curious to see what the hell is Bowles cooking up as far as our blitz game.
Matchups for me, though, I don't really usually worry about the O-line versus the D-line. I think we got it out of our system against the Patriots. I think the Patriots have a better D-line than you guys, but you guys still got players. I'm worried about, you know, Vita Vea just not allowing us to run the ball. Like, Kelce can only do so much with a guy that's 100 pounds more than him. Mm-hmm. And running the ball just makes everything so easy for us as we get into our offense. Do you guys play a lot of cover one or nah?
We're like a very heavy cover. Like we don't play a ton of man, which is actually really annoying to me.
Yeah, the zone blitz and shit, which just causes headaches.
Yeah, it's super annoying because I think we have the bodies to do it, and I honestly want us to play more man because during our Super Bowl run, like when we had to go through that Saints team, we just manned them up, and that was due in part to Breeze's arm. But I mean, Colin and Jamel, this is what they do. They're press physical man corners. Like they want to be with you at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. They want to erase those throwing lanes. They want to throw up the timing, which I think would work really well with our blitzes. But Bowles is just he's a don't get beat deep type of guy. So we run a lot of cover three. He loves cover two. Invert
two. This, man. I want splash plays. The only reason why we got splash plays versus the Vikings is because they blew coverages. Like they were playing three high. Like I saw you mentioned that y'all not gonna play as much too high. I'm like, no, they were playing three high.
Yeah. It's going to be very annoying. Now, we are prone to blowing some coverages, so I won't write you guys off for a big player or two here. But, Bose is very much a zone replace, keep everything in front of you type of guy. Me and my homie were talking about that look the Patriots gave you where they play like a four deep at the sticks and then like they switched everything, which is really weird and you really need. I don't think we have the guys to do that. I think Bill's a really good teacher and he probably the only one who could pull that off. So you're probably going to see a lot of cover two, a lot of cover three, some cover one in some situations, cover four in the red zone type of stuff.
Man, I think we're going to try to find a way to pressure you guys. We're not just going to rely on our front four. Like, we did last week, and that's why we didn't have much. We didn't get to cause Kirk those headaches that we caused him last year because we were so worried about our undrafted second-year nickel, our undrafted outside corner, our undrafted safeties. Yeah. So I think this week, though, with Bradbury and Blankenship back, though, I think we're going to actually get to see Baker under pressure this week. That's probably the most excited I am this week is for that one, that matchup particularly.
And I would definitely try to test the chin if I was the Eagles. Like, objectively, as a fan so far, I've been very, very moved by what I've seen with Baker. He just looks like a guy who I was really worried about having to see bad quarterback play again this year after Brady. So far this season, it's been pretty good, and he's taking really good care of the football. But I have to tie that to the fact that on paper, these are probably the two least talented defenses we're going to see this year. And though he's been good under pressure, it's not going to be the same. So I worry that you're going to start to see Baker regress back to Baker when he's under pressure.
Yeah, I think he's going to have those Baker games still, though. Like when somebody's actually able to do what, you know, causes him trouble, he's going to have those games. It's just a matter if, you know, Canales could draw up something so he could get it out quick and he doesn't even have to worry about that, which is very possible. Like, first two games, we have crazy pressure numbers, crazy win percentage, but there's a reason why we're not getting these sacks. So, you know, y'all could still continue that trend.
Yeah, try to get the ball quick. And I'm hoping maybe if you guys are going to send extra pressure, like, that's going to go hand-in-hand with us getting the ball out quick. Maybe we can get ahead of, you know, the replacements, try to get out on screens, create plays that way. But I am worried, obviously, that Baker is going to start to turn the football over here, and I'm worried it's going to come against a team that can actually create pressure.
I feel like we're meeting together in regression. We are getting some lucky turnovers, and you guys have Baker Mayfield, and he has to turn the ball over once. So, like, one of them is regressing this week. We'll see which one. I feel like we only earned one of those turnovers in that Vikings game. That was the Josh Sweat strip sack where he just won immediately. But the other three turnovers, like, I can't. What, bad punt coverage? So the punt returner got too happy and we tackled him from behind. Justin Jefferson just having a brain fart. Madison, I guess we technically earned that, but fumbles are, you know, less repeatable.
Yeah, definitely less repeatable. And I'm worried about the other side of the ball too, because what's also been keeping us in this game is we've been really good at getting the football. So it's like, okay, if I go through all of the turnovers we've caused, now a couple of them have been earned, you know, a blitz that Kirk doesn't see coming. We hit him as he's throwing the ball. That's earned. You know, Chris Isian makes a great play at the goal line week one against the Vikings. You know, he just literally takes the ball out of somebody's hands. He's sticky coverage. You know, he was there to make the play. But, I mean, Shaq Barrett picks six on a screen. is that really going to happen against Philly? Like, so I'm worried about us creating these turnovers, but with pressure comes turnovers. So that's going to be a great chess match for this game, because I think we're both going to be able to create pressure just in different ways.
Yeah, I think we're also going to find out how real you guys are now. Like, because we haven't been playing good, but I think we are technically just a pretty good team right now. So we're going to learn a lot about you. I hope I don't learn a lot about my team. I'm going to be a little bit nervous about that one. Like, this no preseason shit, I used to be all for it. And I feel like we took it to an extreme level this year where we didn't even play that drive like we played against the Jets last year. And I'm 100% certain that Jalen Hurts will play preseason football next year. Like, it's too much on the other end of the spectrum right now. Like, the way we came out against the Patriots, and I think we also, versus the Patriots and the Vikings, we didn't even get enough chances to really work out those kinks because we went up big because of turnovers and stuff. It was not because of us. We went up big because of turnovers. So we haven't gotten to play, like, a 0-0 game enough, like a close game just where we could mix run and pass, where we shouldn't be running the ball every possession because we're up two scores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you about that, too, because a lot of people – well, a lot of media members have, like, talked about it briefly, but not anybody has really, like, dove into it. And the thing you just brought up actually makes perfect sense what I'm about to say. Because these games are going so out of hand quickly, like you're saying, like, you haven't really gotten to see, like, what do your coordinators look like, you know, when the game's at stake, when it's at risk, you know, when things aren't perfect. Because 17-0, as an offensive coordinator, I mean, it's like everything's working, man. Like, I could call whatever I want to right now, run past everything. Defensive coordinator, you know, we're playing with a lead. Just don't get beat deep. Are you worried? I know you like your guys, but how worried about you about losing both coordinators and not being in this situation against maybe in like a closer game?
The offensive coordinator shit, I think it'll eventually work itself out because the talent is there. I'm certain that we improved on the defensive coordinator spot, but the injuries, you know, like, we came into this year with a lot of eggs in the N'Kobe Dean basket, and he's out for, two more weeks. Mm-hmm. Safeties, we lost Blankenship after game one, so we played without him. I think he's an improvement over Marcus Epps. I don't think he's an improvement over Chauncey, at least not just yet. I did not know we were going to start Justin Evans. The size, it seems a little politics. I feel like Sidney Brown should be out there. He's an actual, you know, playmaker with juice. He could run. So the coordinators so much, not worried at all on defense. I think the size making do with what he has. But on offense, I think it's just going to take time. I think it's also different of what Jalen's going to have to face this year. I think teams are trying their hardest to make our offense less fun. And that's why A.J. Brown's throwing little fits right now. Ooh. Everybody's like, oh, make Jalen a thrower. No, they're not. Like, they don't want to do that. They're taking away the big play, because think about what you want about Jalen Hurts, but it's still Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown up back there. So, yeah.
Right.
So I think it's just a transition. It's less about the coordinators, though.
Right. No, that's a great point, because, you know, and people can you know, they're playing deep, all they want. They are really trying to take away the deep play. But it's like, if you're going to leave those guys one-on-one, at a certain point, it is just one-on-one down the football field with elite players. So, at a certain point, it just comes down to talent.
Man, I'll just run the ball all game, man. I don't care about these stats. I will.
You just want to win.
Yeah, I'll let DeAndre Swift and Kenny Gainwell run the ball all game. I don't care.
Yeah, it was just so fascinating with this game too, because it's like I'm telling you, everybody else you guys have played so far has been scared of the deep play, but I'm telling you, Bowles is selling out to stop the run, bro. Because I feel like this is where the game can be lost for Tampa. Is in Philly. Can run the football on us, because then everything is open. That's just how Bulls thinks. That's how we coach our defense. Like last year, we tried to be more pass heavy front, move it away from nose, try to turn it more into like we played him like in like a three tech, like it was Aaron Donald, try to get like more pass rush savvy, to drop more guys into coverage, blitz less. But and our defense took a step back. And now that we're back to our roots, our defense is looking more like it used to. We're second in run defense. So we're going to sell out to stop this run game. And I think we have to, because I am worried about a couple of the bodies up front. Not really worried about Vita. Mike Green looks like he can actually play. Anthony Nelson has improved a little bit. I like our edge rusher rotation room. But Logan Hall can single-handedly lose us this game. And then obviously Devin, if he tries to be a Superman, which he hasn't so far this year.
Right at Logan Hall. And ever since then, that's all I've been thinking about.
Dude, no. Like, it's so strange, because when we drafted him, I immediately thought, okay, Eric Armstead, just watch his tape. Eric Armstead's awesome. You're a great athlete. Just put on more muscle. But I don't know what it is about his body, but he just cannot absorb a double team, man. It's just insane to watch. Like, well, the amount of times you can count Logan Hall on the ground in a play is just, it's so terrifying. And the thing that's more terrifying is I don't think we have a guy who can play over him, really, unless we throw Greg Gaines out there. But that's just going to take away from our ability to get after you. So I'm really worried about Logan Hall in these matchups. Especially if he's over Dickerson and Mayotte. I mean, that's just barbecue chicken for you.
I'm about to say, like, watch my left side. That is the best run blocking left side I've ever seen in my life. Like, those two, they're big as shit. Completely different builds than the right side. Lane Johnson's still a big dude, but Cam Jurgens is not. And obviously, Mayotte is 6'8", 350 pounds. Dickerson is fat as shit. That's why he's a guard instead of our center, because we like, you know, our mobile center.
it's insane. I'm so worried about that side. And honestly, we have been number two in the rush defense, but it's mainly because Vita, you remember like 2019, 2020 when he was looking like maybe he was like the next great D tackle? It was like, I don't know, PFL.
He was a pass rusher too. It was.
Yeah, he's insane. Yeah,
he looked different.
He was playing at that level so far to start this year, and it's masking so much of like what Logan Hall can't do. Like the fact that Vita has been absolutely like relentless, he's an animal so far to start the year, is just like overshadowing the fact that Logan Hall is a disaster in the run game.
He's the only one disappointed a bit, Logan Hall, on your defensive line.
Honestly, yeah, I guess you could say you're disappointed in Shaq, but I just think at this stage of his career with the injuries, it's like the Vikings, like Darisan and O'Neal, they're just better football players than them at this point. You know, you just can't really like win those one-on-ones as much as you used to. I haven't gone to see Kansi. Everybody else is mostly a death piece, but they're playing well. Mike Green, we called it from the practice squad, actually looks like he can be like a rotational NFL guy. So defensive line wise, like it's really just him who's been awful, like so bad in the run game. Like he flashes some stuff in the pass game. So I'm interested to see if we move him around and test him against Jurgens. I'm not expecting a lot, but it's like, I mean, why not just pick on the weak link? That's what we try to do against the Vikings. Just go against fucking what's the guy's name? Ingram from the Vikings. Try to win some one on ones, but he's a disaster. If we line him up on that side against Mayotte and Dickerson, it's going to be very grim for us. But Devin Levante, they look like Devin Levante. Like, Dev's actually, he's playing good football right now, which I can only hope he can keep up, because I can't have him, you know, going off script and then Logan Hall getting dominated. So I really can't. That's a recipe for disaster.
I know he's been, you know, being apologetic about his trade demands, but I need us to get in his head after this. I'm trying to think if we got an LSU guy. Nobody that was there with him, since, you know, Greedy couldn't even make the team. But maybe Mekhi Gardner could get sent out there and try to convince him.
Yeah, just after you pick up a first down, be like, this could be you, bro. We need one. We need one. Yeah, it could be you.
You saw y'all was talking to DJ Moore. He's like, they not using you, right?
Yeah. He said, yeah, I know, right? I feel so bad for him, too, bro. It's just, like, they really sent him to Siberia. I think, what was it? You tweeted the other day. You were like, Justin Jefferson needs to, like, calm down because he's actually, like, better off. Like DJ Moore is a guy who we need to be tweeting about free DJ. Like, that's insane. Yeah,
that was my exact comparison, though, is that, like, they tweeted it like he is DJ Moore. No, he's never lived that life. Kirk Cousins is a top 10 or 11 quarterback, whatever you want to call it. He gets force-fed the ball. He leads the league in targets. Like, this is the life. He's about to reset the receiver market. He's about to make more money than Nick Bosa when the time comes. Let him have fun.
Just get your stats, bro. Like, a couple of my friends have been saying, oh, what if he asks out? Like, okay, if you're the Vikings, and you start like 0-4 or 0-5, like, do you entertain the idea of trading Kirk? Which I've gone back and forth against because I've been going through the teams. It doesn't really make sense for a lot of them. And this is a good quarterback class. So it's like, what could you really get for him?
Bro,
and
this season a contract year. Take your comp pick. Let him walk.
just let him walk, man. Like, you'll be fine. But yeah, like, the Kirk stuff is insane. Like, even like, dude, against Philly, like, come on, he had 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, you could do worse.
He made some throws that a lot of quarterbacks in his league can't make. But then again, he also attempted a throw that a lot of them won't attempt because that could have been picked. But he is a good quarterback, though. Like, he's just not going to win you that big game. And I don't think a receiver should be that worried about that at the age of, like, 24 either.
Yeah, just you're about to get $30 million a year. You're going to be back-to-back all fucking all-pro. Yeah. Like, you'll be fine.
You're not going to be linked with Kirk for the rest of your career. He's 35 years old. Even if they extended him for, like, 2 years, like, it's not going to be forever.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall. He could do worse.
He's setting records and stats and potential contracts, man. That's all you could ask.
That's a fucking life, man.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, everybody is not going to, like, call you a loser because of Kirk. So it's like, even though you're getting all these stats, people are still defending you like, oh, man, you don't have Josh Allen.
You're a wide receiver, man. Wide receiver rings have never been a thing.
I fucking hate that debate online, man. Like, this guy was a winner. Like, oh, he's a D-tackle. Like, come on, man.
Vince Wilfork spoke.
Score predictions for the game, stat predictions. You got anything?
Like a 27-17, I feel like we got. I think, like you said, though, you guys are going to sell against the run. I think we could run against anybody, but it's just not going to look as pretty. I think we will just throw the ball more. Quick to AJ, quick to Dallas. Probably, I think our offense is going to look a little bit better versus that style of defense. Playing Belichick than playing a Belichick disciple back-to-back, not fun, by the way. I think your offense isn't going to be as good as it's been the last 2 weeks, though. I really do think Canales is doing good things, but I think the fact that he's not going to allow your offensive line to be put in those bad situations, that everything's going to be shorter, and then our bend don't break is going to not break as often.
27-17 is probably fair. I'm going to be at the game in attendance, so I'm obviously rooting for the game. Yeah, no, we're going to be there at fucking row 100. You know? Pretty good seats, but maybe I'll be on the Jumbotron. I'm obviously going to predict the Bucs to win here. I think we can't let you guys get above 23 because I don't think we can beat you guys I don't think we're capable of putting up that many. Like, we're not going to beat you fucking 28-24, 31-20.
No air raid Baker? Come on, man. Have faith.
I would love to, but I don't trust the guys up front, man. I really don't. I like Mock. I like Tristan Wirfs. They've been talking about maybe Mock might be our center in the future, too, which would be interesting. But I like those two. Yeah, he's a baller, dog. Like, he can really do a lot. He reminds a lot of Marpet.
There's an added aspect to this season that I didn't mention that I wanted to. Jalen Hurts.
What's up?
He runs more in the offense, like designed runs, but he doesn't scramble as much. So my guess is that their thought process is usually you don't take the big hits from the design runs because you could slide. You know what you're getting. Right. But Bowles had him running for his life. So I wonder if we see some vintage scrambling Hurts this week that we have not seen it week 1 or week 2. And that's something else that's been holding back our offense. We know Jalen can freestyle and do some things and extend a couple drives, but he hasn't because I think, you know, he got paid all that money. They're like, yeah, you got to calm down. But I think Bowles is a guy that we might game plan for. Like, yeah, Jalen, you might have to do a little bit something there.
Yeah. Man, fucking Flores, Belichick, and Bosa start the year is pretty crazy.
Yeah, like the teams on paper coming into the year didn't look crazy, but just looking at what the fuck your quarterback has to deal with is not so fun. I'm going to be so relieved to play the Washington Commanders, who have a crazy front four, but at least I know I'm not getting pressure from like fucking the sideline.
Yeah, no, they're just sending in a guy late, been innovative, the punter, like he's lined up in like a four eye. Like,
the mascot's just flying onto the field right at Jalen. I need to relax. Jumping over.
Yeah, no, it's just an insane amount of pressure and stuff to deal with. I think Tampa's going to win this game. I'm going to predict it's going to be 24-21. I think they managed with being at home. Heat's going to be a little bit of a factor, I think, for you guys as far as the D-line, having to have the bodies coming in and out. I just think Canales and Bolch is going to keep you guys on your toes enough, and we're going to win the turnover battle. It's a dumb thing to predict, but I'm going to predict that right now. We're going to win the turnover battle, and we're going to do enough to escape with a win. I'm wondering when this Bake Show magic is going to run out, but I don't think it's going to be the fucking one game I go watch. So, yeah, it should be a good one.
Hey, you're the main character, man, so it makes perfect sense for that to be the game.
Yeah, no, it just it has to be, right? Like, the fucking one time I like to go watch the Bucks and the Eagles play, like, you know.
The way my brain works, when you brought up that stat about how we haven't beat you since whenever, I'm like, damn, we really are, dude. That's exactly how my brain works. Like, yo, this shit can't go on forever. The only thing that could go on forever is how we beat the Jets every single time we've ever played them in the history of football. That's the only thing that could go on forever.
Which, by the way, is a completely insane stat. Like, I thought the Patriots, I think they've won 14 or 15 in a row versus the Jets, but, like, never in your history you've ever caught one. That's
like, yeah,
insane.
You faced a couple different rosters. You didn't only face, like, one dominant roster.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, no, but I just hope we got, like, it doesn't mean a lot to anybody else, but god damn if it doesn't mean a lot to me that you guys just haven't been able to beat us in a while. Yeah, just every iteration. Fucking Jameis, the Ryan Fitzpatrick Bucks, the Brady Bucks, now maybe the Big Show Bucks.
I will say, though, what's his name? If Mike Williams didn't break his leg that, like, first play, I really liked us in that one game. Yeah, 2018 or 2019.
Was that the Deshaun Jackson revenge game?
Yeah, but I didn't know of that one, and also I found out from a Seahawk fan that doesn't follow me, by the way, hit me with how they beat us forever and they own us. I didn't even know that either.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, if you and I were such good friends, obviously, then this game probably wouldn't mean anything to you. But yeah, no, I mean, we got
to. It means something to me because we haven't looked good in the first 2 weeks. If we lose this game, I will only be upset if. Like, y'all didn't look good and we lost this game. Like, if y'all looked really good, if Bulls defense was clicking on all cylinders and Baker just found the offense that worked for him, you guys got the weapons. Maybe your offensive line is better than we thought it was. Like, I could talk myself off the ledge. But if y'all come out there and Baker's not doing anything,
and you find a way to lose the game.
Yeah, and Bulls pressure just wrecked the game and we couldn't find a way to get the ball to AJ and Goddard because Brian Johnson's just not ready for the moment, I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be like, all right, preseason's over. Maybe I can hope for after the bye week we get it together. Like, that's how I'm going to have to redirect. Like, that's going to be sad.
And there's also, obviously, the added, you know, bonus of losing to me, which is just the worst thing ever. Ask anybody, man.
You're not that important, bro.
I don't know, man. It feels like I am. It really does. I feel like the main character for about 3 years now. It's pretty intense.
Our team's never really had that type of thing, so nah, you're not that important.
Come on, be fair. Back in the day before, you know, we sucked for 15 straight years.
Oh, yeah, but we're talking about 2003, 2004, though.
That used to be a proud rivalry.
Yeah, we lost the game, and I was sad that we lost the game, but it wasn't like, damn, Tampa. Like, I didn't have any ill will towards Tampa when we would lose those games.
That's true. It could have been. You know, what do we mean? We've been like the NFC Championship game like two or three straight years, and from like in like the early 2000s. It was like we won Super Bowl in 2002, and then we also I think met up in like 2004 or 2003.
We really were the Rockets, though. Like, y'all weren't the Warriors, obviously, because you didn't like win the Super Bowl at the time. But like, we really were the Rockets with how much we got there. Andy Reid really was D'Antoni with just being the offensive genius that couldn't win the big game.
Yeah, no, it was pretty intense. And then obviously we pissed it away and just were asked, like, and you know, we don't have a rivalry with anybody really, according to anybody, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm sorry to say this. You're the Commanders of your division.
No, we really are. But the funny thing about being the Commanders, at least with us, is I think we got a chance to turn it around, honestly. The next couple years, we'll see it.
It's, as much as I want to enjoy the Baker stuff, because I did not sell my Baker stock until last year. I held on 2 years longer than most people. But, like, we know that he is not the answer for the long-term future. But he might be able to win you a playoff game. Like, Daniel Jones just won a playoff game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And your roster is better than theirs.
Yeah. NFC is certainly up in the air enough where he could. I had my reservation before the season. Like, we went over it. I just don't think we're a deep team. Like, we're like a Rashad White injury. I knock on wood. Hold on.
Man, stop with your running back shit.
I'm serious.
You're a Levante David injury.
No, but at least with the Levante David stuff, like, okay, we have guys. Okay, KJ Britt can't see the field under any circumstances. But I'm excited at least to see, okay, Servase, Dennis, blah, 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 blah. If Rashad White goes down, bro, we have zero running game. Zero. Like, nothing. Like,
we have no chemistry. Man, the running game is about the five guys in front, and it always will be to me. Unless you got Josh Adams as your running back.
If you look at the names we got, bro, Patrick Laird, undrafted Sean Tucker.
Sean Tucker's might be better than Najee Harris.
It's not very hard. All you have to do is be able to accelerate in a straight line. I'm just nervous, bro. Like, if he twists his ankle and I have to see Sneak Vaughn and get fucking reps, bro, I'm going to kill myself, bro. I will. I'm going to shoot myself.
Jordan Howard is on that street. You could pick him up.
He can't be worse, right? I'm honestly, because we are saving some money, I'm wondering, like, why isn't Matt Ioannidis on the team? Like, why can't we call him? Is he that bad?
I thought Ioannidis was solid. You're talking about the tackle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know that's not a running back. Right?
Yeah, no. I know. But he's just out there, and I'm like, if I have to watch Logan Hall lose one more double team rep, I'm like, bro, just call somebody, bro. Just please. Just early downs, put him in, and then we'll have Kansi Logan and you know, Vito. We'll do some creative stuff.
You got to call us about Marlon Tuipulotu, man. I like that guy. He just needs to stop playing over Jordan Davis and Milton Williams. It's just that we know it's a marathon and not a sprint, and that is so boring sometimes. I'm watching Tuipulotu steal snaps from these guys. I'm watching Derek Barnett steal snaps. It's
Nolan. Does Nolan play?
He doesn't really play. He gets like six snaps a game, and they're the most meaningless six snaps. It's when the game's already decided. Like, we just – he's not going to play until somebody dies.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that was the epitome of a luxury pick. It's not like the Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell where they pick them and advertise them as day one starters, and now they're only playing 20% of the snaps. Nolan, we knew what the deal was. He is Hassan Reddick successor. He is Brandon Graham, probably only has a year or two. That's what I'm kind of waiting to see. Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett both haven't done anything so far, So I'm hoping they could get it going.
Is there a little bit of politics involved in that, you think? Where, okay, this guy is Hassan's successor and they don't want him to funk up the chemistry or whatever. You just think, you know, we just don't have room for you right now.
Oh, yeah, we're just – bro, we play 11 defensive linemen. Like, 11. 11 play on our team. Kentavious Street is getting reps. Like, it's just – we're just all about that marathon. We're all about keeping them fresh. I think there's a chance that we saw it a little more against the Vikings because it was on that short week, and Jalen Carter is just coming from only playing so-so snaps at Georgia. Jordan Davis is still fat. So I think we might see, after these 11-day layoff, our lead guys actually play football.
Right. Okay. Well, that'll be interesting for sure. I'm hoping we catch you guys because, you know, with these massive D-line subs, maybe we catch you guys with a couple of the B teams in there. We can get some plays off.
Yeah, you run hurry up. You just keep them on the field. Maybe Jordan Davis is the best player on our line in that rep, and you just have him gasping for air.
Yeah.
That's what teams try to do against teams that even if it's not our B team, you just keep guys out there that aren't used to being out there. Fletcher Cox is still old. You just keep on going with the quick game and hurry up, and you know, next thing you know, you're playing against the defensive line that's way weaker than it's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, they definitely used to do that. People still do that to Bitter too. So,
we got to do that to him, man.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that regular season game. The most recent regular season game, the year that we lost the playoff game to you, we ran like Vea was tired. He comes off the field, and what do you know? We can run the football, and we drove down the field just running the rock the whole time with him on the sidelines. Like, why couldn't he come off sooner?
Dude, Miles Sanders just came alive. I know the exact game you're talking about. I think we won 28-22. I still remember that game. AB was hooping in that game, too.
Yeah. All right, rest in peace to him, man. Catch that energy.
Dude, him worse and Godwin, getting hurt than him throwing a field against the Jets, really cost me another ring, man. I really do think we beat him.
That's the matchup I forgot to say that I'm looking forward to the most. I need Wirfs welcomed into that left tackle position. He has been getting away with playing some bums. He's going to see FSU legend Josh Sweat, who is – I feel bad for Sweat because I didn't even realize people thought of this as a talking point. I don't think it's that serious, but they're talking about edge rushers that line up over the left tackle and edge rushers that hide from the left tackle. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I thought to myself, Josh Sweat deserves more respect from these people because he lines up over Andrew Thomas. He lines up over Tyron Smith. He's going to line up over Tristan Wirfs this week. Like he got his 11 sacks last year, only lining up right there.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that. And I see what you're trying to do, pull out my FSU heartstrings. But Sweaty, if he looks good against Sweat, my confidence in him is going to be through the moon, man, because – He did, like, speaking to the Bears incompetence, by the way, just another ledger in the book. But they, like, specifically lined up Yannick against Tristan that game instead of trying to take advantage of Gadecki, which I thought was the stupidest thing in the world. And Tristan held up well, obviously, because he's Tristan Wirfs. Yeah. But I am, like, this is I think Sweat is an all-pro level talent, and not a lot of people do. And obviously, that's a little bit of bias. But I do think if he looks good against him, like, that'll be something. Because this is rare speed burst, like, 6'5", 260, bro. Like.
He hits you with the long arm. He hits you with the ghost. Like, his repertoire for his size, it just doesn't make sense.
Somebody that big, like, and long, like you're saying, with a long arm, like, okay, on one rep, he looks like Max Crosby. But then he ghosts you like Brian Burns. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh,
like,
come on, man. You have to sneak FSU. Just say Von Miller.
No, Von is done, bro. When was the last time you saw Von on the football field? Like, this is FSU town.
Last time he was on the field, he was good, though. I still got faith.
It's Burns' move now, man. We stole that shit. Just like an ACL. But
I'm at the point where I'm not rooting for injury, man, but I really want to see Nolan play over Derek Barnett. We should have freed him. We just love having that depth. We love having a guy who technically was like – he was playing starter snaps on a Super Bowl team, so I get it why they want to keep him around. Right. But I just want to see the 4-3 edge play football. Like the 4-3 edge that they were saying was taking reps at the 4-I throughout camp, and he was playing really well. Like it makes no sense.
I actually, why don't you guys move him? Like, I get, like, this is a Super Bowl push, and, like, there's no point in, like, getting rid of, like, valuable assets and everything. Yeah, just, like, I feel like you don't need him, like, at all.
Yeah, no, but that's the exact reason. It's because we had to trade a fourth rounder for Robert Quinn, and he ended up being a dud. Like, we want to have those guys in-house. We don't want to have to be buyers. If we're going to buy this year, we're going to buy a safety or a linebacker. We don't want to have to buy a pass rusher this year.
Right.
Okay. The most we do about the pass rush is call Ndamukong Suh if, like, Fletcher got hurt. Like, all right, come play with Suh Jr. and Jalen Carter right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is going to be an interesting one, man. I don't think you're ready for the bake show, bro. You see him ad-libbing, bro? He's hitting spin moves. He's dumping it off to the running back.
He's talking shit, bro.
He's talking shit.
Telling people to hit the weight room.
Exactly. Stiff-arming people to the ground. Like, bro, come on now.
I think Jalen Carter meets him, though. I really think Carter gets home. He's been close. He only got one sack on the year. He's touched a quarterback every single game. He wins. Yeah. You watch him, he wins every rep. I don't know who he's lining up over against, but I expect him to play more reps because we move him around a bit.
Yeah, no, again, if it's Robert Hazy, then yeah, he'll probably get a sack and a half.
Oh, I'm expecting Jordan Davis to have another splash play. Remember last week he had – well, obviously he had the sack where he threw the guard into the tight end, into Kirk. But he also had that play where he won instantly and he tapped Kirk Cousins' helmet. It was the first third down of the game. I'm expecting Hainsey to give us one of those plays for Jordan.
And he will because he's Robert Hainsey. You know, he'll probably give you one or two. Like, listen, I'm expecting this. This is going to be a dogfight for my guys up front. It's so weird because if you had told me this before the year, I wouldn't have believed you. But I'm a lot less concerned about the edges than I am about the middle. And I did think I was going to have Jensen, but – Like, and I know Hassan is good, but it's just one of the rare instances where like Gadecki having baby arms like won't really be that big of an issue. Like Hassan's not gonna long arm him to death.
Well, yeah, he's gonna try to run around him.
Yeah, so like Hainsey, like he's at least shown that he can catch guys and maybe gets away with a hold or two. But
the way you describe it is this would have been the game that Hassan and Sweat should switch sides.
You would think, yeah. No, it would be because you got to test, it works. Can you move from that
left side? Yeah, test Wirfs' feet, test Gadecki's arms.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely see. Like, maybe that's an adjustment from the side in the second half, too. But It's just, I don't know, it's an interesting matchup, bro. It really is. I would love, obviously, us both to be fully healthy. I'd love to see the chess moves that we could pull with Cancer and these other guys. But I think Bowles does have enough in his bag of tricks to make this a weird game for y'all. And it's pretty early in the season, too.
I need to win this game good because Cowboys losing Trayvon, man. Like, it's looking like it's going to be the same shit as last year where it's the Eagles and Niners. I still like the Cowboys a lot. But I think if we really beat the shit out of y'all, like how we thought it would go before the season started, that would have me already putting myself in the championship game again. Like, as hard as it is to get back, it would put me in the championship game again. Yes, beating the Big Show means that much.
Yeah. I'm glad the game means as much to you as it does to me, honestly. So, any of the games you want to get off your chest here?
Nothing about my team. Do you think that Trayvon Diggs though thing does that keep him out of Super Bowl? Because they were your Super Bowl pick. You had Ravens and Cowboys, if I remember correctly.
I did have Ravens and Cowboys, and I was honestly feeling really great about that before.
One looked like the best in the AFC, one looked like the best in the NFC.
Yeah, I was feeling great about that one. It would be so stupid to say that Trayvon won't matter because he's an All Pro corner. Like, he's gonna make. There's so many plays that he can make that Deron Bland can't. And there's so many plays that he causes because people don't want to throw at him that, like, helps the rest of the defense out. I think they're unique, kind of similarly to the Saints, where the secondary is strong enough to withstand that. And they have a crazy pass rush, obviously. But I do think it's going to show at some point. Like, you're gonna run into Ayuk and, and Debo in the playoffs, or, you know, AJ and Smitty in the playoffs. And you're just not going to have that all-pro guy to match up with him. So I think it's going to show his head at some point, but
I also think it just takes another weapon out of Dan Quinn's bag. Like, he has to play a little bit more conservative now. Like, it was Gilmore's your coverage guy. I'm not saying Diggs can't cover. I actually think he covers way better than Eagles fans think. But, like, he is your big play guy, though. You let Diggs play aggressive, you protect him, but they don't have that in their bag now. Now they're just more of a coverage team, less takeaways. Rely on Micah and just their whole D line to get any turnovers that may happen.
Yeah, nah. Maybe it's because I'm in Dallas, but I was honestly, when I got the notification, I was actually legitimately sad just because, I the whole NFL, like, you just hyping up to be like these titans of the conference type of thing. It's just like, I don't want any of them to, like, not have their guys. Like if we go into a playoff meeting with the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Niners and in Tampa, you know, big show. But I want everybody to be out there healthy, but I want to see the matchups. I want to see AJ versus Diggs. I want to see, the Niners front versus, whoever the fuck. You know, I want to see that.
As I get older, that just feels like such a fairy tale, but I don't even think about it anymore. I know that we're not seeing those. I know that somebody's going to die. It always happens. Most of the time, it's usually on my team, except for last year. So that's what was so sad about losing last year.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, that definitely will affect it. We'll see how much in the coming weeks. But yeah, do you think they buy a corner? They have to at some point, right? They'll replace it.
They might buy a low-level guy, but nobody that's going to start for them. That's my prediction. You just got to have another guy in the building because last year their season started getting derailed originally because of that corner spot, and that's why they traded for Gilmore once that shit was available.
Mm-hmm.
So they know how dark it could get after one more injury.
Yeah, that sucks for them. Great for you, but it sucks for them.
Yeah, I don't celebrate injuries, but I don't really blink an eye. It's not like, I feel bad for them because, like I said, it happens every day. Like, N'Kobe went down, nobody cared. It's just, it happens. Wentz went down, everybody actually made jokes about it.
Yeah, definitely. Shit, I mean, goddamn, God went down against the Saints, man. Season was over.
I gotta talk to you about something that actually got me annoyed on the timeline. Only because it's monetized now, I don't tell people to stop tweeting me. But the Brock Purdy shit. So Brock is he had cool stats. I thought he was relatively inaccurate. I thought he tried to throw maybe 3 or 4 interceptions. But him aside, they were talking about somebody said that you just need a good enough quarterback. And I just want to know an example of when has that ever worked? And then people pointed to Nick Foles. I'm like, all right, if you want to grab yourself a career backup and just hope that you are lucky enough for him to play like Aaron Rodgers for 2 games. Like, that is not a recipe for winning. It had nothing to do with anything besides luck. The Eagles were the team to beat. Then Wentz died. That was very unlucky. The Eagles were very lucky. Very lucky. Like, This is the fakest thing I've ever seen in my life, what Foles did against the Vikings and the Patriots. That is not a recipe for winning. There's no recipe for a good enough quarterback winning a Super Bowl. We have never seen it.
Yeah, we've never seen it. I forget who replied to. I think I retweeted it. He brought up Nick Foles. It's like, yeah, sure. If you want to have a quarterback who somehow on the largest stage of his entire universe outplays Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, yeah. Like, yeah, sure. That's super realistic, dog. But I just when does that ever happen? Like how many examples do we need to see of guys who just aren't good enough to win the big game? So like, that's why you got the guys.
The only time it's happened was Dilfer, and the league has changed many a time since then. People have pointed to Peyton Manning, which I'm like, all right, I get what you're trying to say, but if you still can't differentiate what an ass quarterback is versus an ass Peyton Manning, like, he is still smarter than everybody on the field, and then that Broncos defense is from an era that is not replicable. Like, you're not going to see that today. The way the rules are, yes, I get it. It was only 8 years ago. Yes, the game has changed since then. You're not going to see that.
Yeah.
You need a quarterback.
Totally different circumstances.
Shocker. Yeah. Hot take. You need a quarterback. That's what I'm trying to figure out with Brock Purdy. I actually think he's better than I thought that he was last year, but you cannot deny that he tried to throw plenty of interceptions yesterday versus a defense that is not good at all to me. I think Wink is cool. He makes shit look pretty decent, but he doesn't really do anything besides that anymore.
Yeah, I think Wink can make an average defense play above his means, but I've yet to see him make a great defense elite.
Yeah.
So I think he's another one of those blitz you a lot, muck up the games type of guys. But yeah, the Purdy thing is fascinating to me because he has a couple throws a game, like that first touchdown he threw where he threw it to the pylon to a spot and the dude like toe tapped it, the rookie. And then he had obviously that throw to Debo back shoulder. It's like, okay, if he can make those throws in the playoffs, they can win a playoff game. However, if he watched the entirety of the game against a great team like Purdy, like against the Cowboys last year, bro, like he scored 19 points. He was
Trayvon
awful.
Diggs catches that ball. It's a different
they
game.
Lose. They lose the game, bro. Like, it just.
I hate people that don't respect dropped interceptions because eventually they're not going to be dropped. They're not going to be dropped, man. PFF only had him as two turnover-worthy plays. I disagreed with that. I think they didn't count the one where Debo played defensive back because technically the defender didn't touch the ball, which I think a good defender could have made that play.
Or even the one where you remember they got that call against Kayvon where he illegal touching whatever he threw that like sandwich across the middle in the double coverage like those throws against good teams, bro. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's another thing. They're not going to count that, but that would have been a pick for a good player. But Giants suck.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not moving off this Purdy thing. I think he is good enough to execute the scheme. He will be fine. They will win 10, 11, 12 games, probably a playoff game. But
yeah,
beyond
I got
that,
11, 12, 13 games, and then at least one playoff game.
Yeah. But the reason they try to go out and buy a quarterback, Kyle Shanahan is smarter than a lot of you people. He knows he needs a guy, and it didn't pan out with the guy he thought he had. So, they need a quarterback still. What else around the league? Ravens still look good, even within some of the injuries. The Bengals,
I was a Bengals hater, just because LSU, they're annoying as shit. But before the season started, I'm like, there's no reason to believe that they're not about to run away with this division. This has been like the most proven core in the last 3 years. Like, we know what a Burrow and a Chase and a T. Higgins gets you. But I'm ready to, put the nail in the coffin for them, though, with Burroughs. It looks like he's not playing. 0-3 in that division with the Ravens running away from it. I guess you got blessed by the Chubb injury. Sucks to say. Where you might have an easier two games this year. Well, one game since they already lost to them. But it looks like they're done, man. AFC is tough. Like, you can't go down 0-3. And if Burrow doesn't play, I'm picking the Rams to win. If Burrow plays, I'm picking the Bengals to win. But if he doesn't play and you go down 0-3, I can't pick you to even make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm about where you are, too. I'm about ready to call it quits with them, which I like so much about that team. I like their DC. I actually like their defensive line. I like their weapons. I guess I've paid a little bit more attention to this because they look so bad. Whereas just, I do have a lot of other people tweeting at me, you know, well, this is actually how it's supposed to be every year, but the AFC has just been banged up. Like, they've been running away with an unhealthy division. And I want to argue against it, but they just look so awful and the Ravens look so good. I'm like, have they been taking advantage of a lot of key injuries? Like in that playoff game, like, Lamar plays, do they lose? You know, like, I don't, like, Lamar's owned them for the most part. What is he, 3-4-1 against them? Like, I don't know. I do like this core. They do win a lot of football games, but I mean, if your quarterback is done, like, it just it is what it is. But you're not gonna make up ground in the AFC with Joe Burrow out. Who else did I get to here? Jags. They look weird. Like, defense is better than I thought it was. 17.
I think the Chiefs' offense was just not as good. The penalties. It was the penalties. If Jawan Taylor doesn't have 5 penalties, that defense looks a little bit worse.
The yeah, but Colts offense the ball is against awful.
Them too. Yeah,
offense is awful, but is the Chiefs' defense is really good? You know.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Chiefs are a sneaky good defense. I think because people don't know the names because they're young names that they don't realize it's a good defense. Obviously, it needs Chris Jones there, but they even played the Lions pretty good without Chris Jones. It's just that that tipped pick 6 put up more points on the board.
Yeah, and you know the receivers dropping a million. Balls. But also, Steve Spagnuolo, another DC who likes to muck up things and blitz a lot and show you different coverages. I'm telling you, there's a pattern here with these guys. I don't like DCs who just sit in their ass and don't do anything and just
John Gannon.
Forward. Yeah. Yeah. Send the blitz. These quarterbacks are too good. Change the coverage. Disguise stuff. Make it weird. I don't muck up the game. But let's see. Who else in the AFC is worth talking about? Browns relatively finished, right? Yeah. No Chubb. Best player done.
That's
finished.
The only team that could really be killed by a running back dying, and you know it happened.
Yeah, Steelers. Just their offense is Canada is just so bad. It's just they're not a factor. Canada's he's awful. Their offense is never going to get.
They're a year away though, and I guess the year away is firing Canada as well.
Yeah,
but that's got to go on Tomlin a little bit more, a lot more. That actually is 100% on Tomlin. He's the one who always sticks up for Canada.
Yeah,
it sounds so funny to say that.
Yeah. I heard him and won't let him go. Jets obviously finished. Unless they make a move for a quarterback.
But they shouldn't, though. Aaron Rodgers is walking through those doors next year. You can't go get Kirk Cousins. And then what do you do next year? Like, buy Kirk? Fuck you, Aaron? Well, Aaron's making too much money for that. So you can't pay the price for Kirk. Because, come on, Kirk's not taking you to that game. I like Kirk. I think that if he had a full offseason, it'd be a little bit different. But when have we ever seen a team buy a quarterback at the deadline? Like, this is not basketball.
It just works.
You're not buying a fucking rim protector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nah. Let's see who else. So Patriots, nobody really cares. Boring team. Dolphins look amazing. I think the Bills eventually start to figure it out, even though I don't think they get as far as they used to.
With the Bengals dying, the Browns dying, the Chiefs looking shaky, though, like, even with the Bills regression, I feel like I might still be in.
you're Josh Allen's biggest fan, so.
I used to hate him the most, though, but, like, I just don't think he's on the level of Mahomes. But when people compare him to other guys that have a lot of failures, it kind of bothers me. Yeah, like, Burrow has went out stinky in a lot of these games where his losses, he didn't look like he played well. He's the reason why they lost to the Chiefs. I don't care what linebacker you blamed, whatever they screamed in that guy's face or whatever, holding call that went uncalled that ended up having zero impact on the game. Burrow did not play good. His two best plays were his receivers making plays in double coverage, and then he threw two picks.
Yeah, he was pretty awful. But, you know, LSU machine on Twitter.
Joey Burr.
Yeah, Joe Scheisty. Joe Cool. Side question. Do Cincinnati Bengals fans from Cincinnati exist?
I know one. And I had to scour all of Twitter for one because remember I did that interactive mock draft where I DM'd everybody who they wanted to take. And I had to fucking tweet out a million times before I found one.
Yeah, no, I just every time I click in the fucking bio, somebody did Freddie Joe Burrow. It's just LSU or the fucking whatever that Saint emoji thing or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's insane. So you know, Bills are probably going to be fine. Chiefs are going to be fine. Chargers are finished. That sucks, honestly. I like Herbo so much, and I hate the conversation about the kid.
They're in a must-win against the Vikings in Week 3. Both teams are in a must-win. That's kind of funny. That's a playoff game right there.
That's a playoff game, and I can't wait for one of these quarterbacks to to put up 35 and lose, and have people tweet at them, they should have done more. It just, you know, it's going to be hilarious.
Broncos, I need your insight on a specific team, your division, man. How about my Falcons?
Yeah, Falcons. God, Ritter is awful. But I know he made enough plays in that Packers game where people would not be like, "Oh, you can win with this guy." But yeah,
Second half, he played good ball.
Bijan in that offensive line is just. I think eventually they figure out what to do with I think they got him labeled as a J, whatever that position means in their offense with Pitts and London. Like eventually they're gonna have to figure out like you know what those dudes do as far as a wrinkle for their offense, but. They look good, bro. They look good. The defense actually looks pretty good too, bro. Like Jesse Bates looks, I'm fucking amazing. The defensive line looks good.
Onyemata is good. Caden Ellis is good. Calais Campbell, a great pickup. At least is an NFL player. Like they added five starters to their team, and I was like, I refuse to believe that it wasn't gonna matter at all.
Yeah. Hey. Side reverse ask for you. How about the NFC South, man? 3-2-0 teams.
Ah, oh, man. How about this? And I'd say none of them have looked that good. Like, technically, yeah, I think with the Vikings, the way they looked, it made y'all look not as good as originally. Like, week one, the win looked pretty cool, and now it's like, all
right. They suck, right? Well, you got to give the Saints defense credit. They look really good.
Yeah, they do. Their offense is going to get better with Kamara coming back, so I think that they're still the team to beat. I think the only difference is the Panthers are even lower than I thought, and you guys are better than I thought. Falcons are exactly what I thought. I've picked them to win these first 2 weeks, and they've won these first 2 weeks. I'm picking them to beat Detroit, too, and I think that's the clear-cut game of the week, which is so sad. This is a horrendous slate.
Is it really that bad? I actually haven't looked. I've been so excited for this Eagles-Bucks game. I have no idea who else is playing.
Like,
so.
Obviously, the Chargers-Vikings is the fantasy sports game of the week, but like they're 0-2 for a reason still. Their defenses are kind of funny, but the Lions and the Falcons, that's game of the week. That's the two best teams playing each other this week. That's sad to
say. Oh, my God. These games are awful.
I think I've been calling out for this specific matchup since, like, July. I know the Lions are soft in the middle. They're the better team, but they're soft in the middle. And when you are soft in the middle and you're playing against this offensive line and the best running back I've seen in a very long time, I just think that schematically the Falcons should be able to win this one out, but it's going to be a close game because the Falcons don't have the talent to blow anybody out or to dominate anybody in any way.
Yeah. Ooh, you know what? You're going to hate this. Sneaky good game, Bills Commanders. Sneaky good game.
Oh, man. You're the third person to say it, and only one of them was a Commanders fan, so fuck.
Bro, it's good. I'm telling you, Sam Howell, truther, stand up, left hand up. But I actually like what Bienemy is doing with his offense. I think it's interesting to say the least. I have to see this front versus Josh Allen. You know, you know what?
That's the equalizer, though. We know the front's going to beat the shit out of the Bills front, but Josh Allen, he should be able to make plays. Forbes had a pick, questionable whether it was a pick, but he also got burned by Marvin Mims. So yeah. I think Diggs still going to get his game off on this team. Gabe Davis, maybe it's a Gabe Davis game. I just don't see how the talent, you know.
Yeah, how, talent
the talent not matter.
Yeah. I think this is going to be like a close-ish game entering the fourth, and maybe the Bills pull away. But it's
this is
game.
Sam Howell's biggest test, though. Like, definitely. The Broncos had a great defense last year. They do not look to have that this year. Everett's gone. Draymond's gone. And then
you're not
Cardinals,
moved by that
you know,
week one? You're not moved by week one against the Raiders? 16 points to 17,
But we've seen with the Raiders where look at the Raiders played the Bills and they
put up 10 points.
Yeah, they put up 10 points and got smoked. Like, so, I think it's going to be ugly, though. I definitely think that the Bills' talent's just going to outweigh it.
God, this is disgusting. This is a pretty disgusting slate of games. Bills Commanders is probably the third best matchup we got here.
Eagles.
Packers Saints might be interesting.
Oh yeah, that's actually a better matchup to me. I got the Saints winning that. Aaron Jones I think did practice. Bakhtiari is not playing for sure though.
Yeah.
Saints defense is just going to be able to win that war. That's all it is. Jordan Love hasn't had. Yeah, that's an even better example. Like Sam Howell, at least he played the Broncos. Jordan Love has not played anything like that. He got to open up against the worst defense in the NFL with the Bears, and then you know the Falcons improved, but still I wouldn't say that they're a great defense.
I think in this sense, Derek Carr is a great equalizer in this game. I think the only way the Packers win this game is if he's awful and he throws a couple of picks, which he's fully capable of doing.
Yeah, Packers defense
to Jair Alexander. Yeah. So we'll see about that game. Is there any? Hey, you're not. These are just all awful. We don't even get Richardson versus Lamar. That's
yeah. We don't get that. We were robbed. But I was saying, I am interested in the Saints. They love their running backs over there in that fan base. And Kendra's the only running back they got on the roster that's playing right now.
What about Tony Jones Jr., number 34 from last week or whatever?
Yeah, I'm sorry to talk about him. My bad. But Ball's dead. Kamara's still out one more week. Ah, man.
Oh, man. You just go through these games. Okay, Falcons line's good. Chargers, Vikings should be entertaining. Saints, Packers should be entertaining. Texans, Jags, who cares, man?
Awful.
Awful game. Broncos, Dolphins.
6 to 8 weeks, by the way.
Oh yeah, just so who's gonna cover Ridley? Steven Nelson over there, Stu?
Yeah, they're tweeting out his PFF stats. So I mean his grades. So I went to go check. He's only had 6 targets and he caught an interception. No shit, his grade is good.
Yeah. That game's not moving anybody. Broncos Dolphins should be an absolute bloodbath. Titans Browns battle of the running backs. We were robbed.
I got the Titans.
Yeah, you got the Titans in that one.
Yeah, they're dogged, but I pick the Titans every week. I get they lost to the Saints by 1 point. I still feel pretty good about them. Their front's going to beat the shit out of them. The Browns' front,
is gonna
from
be
what
the
I've heard,
Titans,
is fraudulent right now. They can't pass protect for shit. They got a pass pro problem. And then, they were a great run-blocking team, but they had Nick Chubb, too. So we'll see how much was them and how much was him. He's clearly one of the running backs that are different. Jerome Ford had a 70-yarder. Outside of that, he was only getting, 3 a carry at most.
Mm-hmm. Now, I am worried about the other side of the ball, though, because the Browns front, if you want to talk about muddying the game up and making Tannehill uncomfortable, that's going to be a huge
Titans' life every week, though. This is what they've been – the life they've been living for the last 3 years. If there's anybody used to losing that battle every single week and still being a good team, it's been Mike Vrabel.
That is true. I am very interested to see, though, because I think I was reading a stat that says on the average of hate that the Browns front seven is getting is at the line of scrimmage, which means the D-line is creating a lot of penetration and the linebackers are flying up. So how does that match up with Henry? I wonder.
Man, Tyjae Sharp's going to have to start dancing.
Yeah, something. Third down back. Do something creative with the kid. But for God's sake, I picked him up in fantasy. Patriots, Jets. Holy shit, who cares? Panthers, Seahawks, who cares?
Your Bears, Seahawks Chiefs. Are going to win that game, man.
Yeah, my Seahawks, they need to start showing me something, man. I was very encouraged by them being the Lions on an obvious blown holding call against Hayden Hutchinson. But
I said this a bunch of times. People are probably tired of hearing it. The Lions scored 14 points directly for them. There was no way that they were supposed to lose that game. Montgomery fumbling, Goff throwing a dot right to somebody to walk in for 6.
That is fair enough, but that game-winning drive, I was moved, man. The Seahawks, they could not move the ball against the Rams for some reason. It's just Geno started to look a little bit more like he did last year. So,
he's running back this year, bro. Just wait for that.
Yeah, he's running back. We got Bears, Chiefs. Are you, Justin Fields, sneaky, dangerous game? He said, I got to settle in. He's in the press clippings every fucking day, so.
We got 3-1-2 Darius calling plays. He might be a difference maker.
I don't know. Him and Eberflus are hugging at practice. Maybe they got something for the Chiefs. I don't know. Sneaky good game. Cardinals, Cowboys. Yeah, who cares? Steelers, Raiders. This is going to be a hilarious game. I'm a hilarious game, man.
Not calling for, what's it called, must wins. But I think the Chiefs and the Jags both got to beat the shit out of their opponents this week to feel better about them right now. I'm always going to feel good about the Chiefs, but come on, man. Give us one game where you're just like, all right, yeah, we're still that team.
Yeah, because the conversation around them was, if anybody could obviously repeat as a champion, it's going to be them. But they have not looked like a championship contender. They've looked like a team that can win games and their quarterback is cool.
You could say, though, that they have looked like a team where they're second best player missed week one, and then their third best player didn't report to camp until 3 days before week two.
I'm not trying to hear that, man. Chris Jones took over that game, bro.
Yeah. But Jawan Taylor, 5 holding calls, definitely. Well, 5 offensive penalties definitely ruined their offense.
I don't think that's going away either. You just wait until Donovan Smith starts getting these calls. So I'm with you. They got to show me something against the Bears, man. Tampa, for the majority of the game, we dominated the Bears. We didn't score a lot, but in the first half, we put up almost 300 yards.
I also think the same could be said for us, but y'all are definitely a better team than those teams are playing right now. So it's not as serious. We could just win a good game against y'all without feeling bad about it.
Yeah, but at some point, you got to blow out a team, man.
Oh, they will. Just Kind of want it to be this week, though.
And then this game would have been good if Burrow was playing. But Rams Bengals, I think, would have been an interesting matchup too.
Yeah, like I said, I got one team winning if he's playing, one team winning if he doesn't.
Yeah. But yeah, we got 2.5 good games. Yeah.
I'd still argue 1.5. Yeah, I think our game is clearly the second best game of the week. Maybe the third.
it's in there for sure. Yeah. You got to reach for a couple of these matches. But yeah, I mean, it should be an interesting week of games, man. Can't wait. I cannot wait for this game, bro.
I hate Monday night. Monday night is definitely the worst primetime game to have. Waiting the longest is the worst. Thursday nights, I don't care if players don't like it. I actually enjoy watching that.
Yeah. Well, I'm at least happy because the way my flight's set up, I'm going to be able to watch the entire day of football and then fly out after it. I'm happy with that. And then there's a certain pressure not having to watch your team play, but that anticipation is just going to be building on the plane right over here, bro.
Yeah, I feel better talking shit when my team already won, though, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, you know, I'm over here going to be getting off all these jokes and, like, Tampa Bay's down 30-17, you know,
through the third. You're just getting bookmarked the whole Sunday.
Yeah. Everybody's just waiting for that first Baker pick six. I got to turn my phone off now.
All right, man. That's it for the slate, right?
Yeah, that's got to be it, man. So, you know, I guess the next time you and I speak, man, it's going to be after we walk all over y'all, man. We take the Eagles down, cry Eagles cry, man. Pirates up one.
I will say, though, if y'all do win, I will not be as flexible with you missing the set times to record, though. So you're going to get one shot, and if you don't make it, you don't make it.
I don't get to run my victory lap? If we
win. only if you set a time and you're actually there, though. Like, you cooked us twice this week, and one of them had me up until, like, 2:30 a.m.
Okay, to be fair, for one of them was unavoidable. The other one is just, I probably could have communicated that one a little better. Yeah, okay.
All right, so now you know you only get one shot to gloat if I do win.
All right, fair enough, man. I'll wake y'all up, bro. Whatever hour it is, man. I'll come to Florida wherever you're at. We can record an in-person session. But yeah, wrapping up another episode. Thank you, Paul, for stopping by. Two thirds, deep thirds, you know. yeah, we out of here.